Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Last time I talked to Keith Wisner, he was coming on to talk about some of his stories in the Saginaw area and an old train station and just some of the things that he's witnessed in his life. And, you know, at the time, he was a little leery about doing it because he had never spoken out publicly. And you always wonder what kind of backlash. I think every one of us who've spoken the truth, what we believe to be the truth, have experienced that. Well, now Keith's back, and he's got a new book out. He said he was going to work on it, and he's from Saginaw, Michigan. How are you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great, TJ. How are you?
Great. Thanks good. For getting back with me. You have, what is the name of your book?
It is called Haunted, Ghost Stories from the City of Saginaw.
Ghost Stories from the City of Saginaw. I'm guessing everywhere you go, there's probably stories. I got to believe, right? How can there not?
Oh, absolutely. I'm certain as you travel around our great state, you'd probably find many more stories. Maybe we could make this a series of stories.
Sell a lot of books.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a self-published book. What does it sell for?
It is selling for $45.
Okay. And how does somebody get access to this?
They can call us directly, us being the Saginaw Depot Preservation Corporation. We're a nonprofit group working to restore the Potter Street Station in Saginaw, Michigan.
Okay.
Which is, it's the largest Victorian train station left in the country. And so we're looking for a collective group of people where we've been trying to raise money to put a new roof on the building and restore it in general. And this was a collection of efforts from different people that have had experiences with the supernatural or spirits. We've put all our stories together and come up with this haunted ghost stories from the city of Saginaw.
So what kind of reception did you get from family members or people when you told them about this book?
Well, I have a lot of family that are very supportive of the fact that I'm spending a lot of time trying to preserve a piece of our history. But when you put out there that you communicate with the dead, for instance, that's when they start fading off, like you can see them backing away from the table, or they want to change the topic of discussion. So, you know, there's still a great number of family members that I don't discuss much detail of the book or my experiences with. But there are still, you know, for each one of those people that aren't really into it, there's so many more that are. And it's funny, we had a book reading not too long ago here in Saginaw, and the place was packed, and we rolled through the stories. We read six stories, and they wanted a seventh, so we read a seventh story for everyone in attendance. And after the reading, you couldn't leave. There was at least an hour worth of questions.
That's
different
cool.
People about their experiences, and you come to my house and see if this is really the problem I'm experiencing. I mean, everything runs the gamut. But
when we talked the last time, you talked about some of your experiences. Can you go over a couple of those, maybe even at the depot? But what was one of your first experiences you ever had?
First experience I had was around age 8. I was in the back seat of the car. My parents are driving home from the mall here in Saginaw. We came to a four-way stop, and I remember looking at this large abandoned house on Jefferson Avenue in Saginaw. And there was a woman standing in the window, and she was just as sheer as the shears that she was holding back in the window. And I said to my mom, "Mom, I'll look at that lady in the window." And of course, my mom didn't see her, and nobody in the car did but me. And so those kind of things have happened to me.
What did they think when you said that? What did they say to you?
My mom just kind of dismissed it and said, "There's nobody there." I asked my sister, did you see her? And she's like, no, I didn't see anything. Funny thing now, and older, being older now, I had a conversation with my sister about that very thing a couple weeks ago, and she said, you know, I didn't see who you were talking about that day, but she's seen things in life that she too, you know, wouldn't really.
So now she can. She's a believer of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about your mom? Is she still around?
Yes, my mom's still living. My parents live not too far from me, actually. And
does she believe that that's in those things now?
She's not as accepting as. You know, my dad and I talked about it recently, and he was at the film premiere of The Haunting on Potter Street. And he sat right next to me, and there was this part of the movie where you see a shadow figure go by an opening. And he said when he was a boy, he remembered going there with my grandpa, and that he got the chills or the hair stood up on the back of his neck in that area. And he was kind of... almost like saying, you know, I believe you, you know, I believe what you're saying, kind of thing. So
he's open to the possibility.
He is, yeah.
Why do you think people are closed off to that? Why do you think people are closed off to the possibility that spirits could still be roaming around and haven't moved on?
You know, I have a lot of different schools of thought on that. I think, you know, there's fear. I think that religion plays a big factor in the belief, you know, whether there's spirits or not. Being raised in a Catholic household, I can honestly tell you that it's not embraced.
No, it's not. But yet I know a lot of Catholics that do embrace it.
Right.
They're open to that.
So, I think it all depends on, you know, your upbringing and
what you're exposed to. Yeah, what you're exposed to along the way. And then maybe also, you know, some people would say, Keith, we're all on different levels. Have you ever noticed that? Different levels of understanding.
Right.
Some people are very open and seem to have explored a lot in their lifetime and are still searching. And then there are those who don't want to go. And I called like there's such a thing as like baby souls or infant souls. Souls that are maybe not, I think, have you and I talked about reincarnation before? And where I think people, you know, the more times you've been here, this is the way I kind of see it, because it makes a lot of sense, is that the more times you've been here, well, you're more open to more things, because you've already been around the block. It's like the first time, you know, go to school, your first day of school. Oh, I'm all afraid, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. After you've been to school a few times, boom, not a big deal. After you've been on my show a couple times, not a big deal, right, Keith? It's
right.
Nothing. It's a piece of cake. Anybody could do this.
Right.
So I kind of see that part of it is the level we're on as far as consciousness, the way I look at it. I don't know how that fits in. Are you still a Catholic?
Non-practicing.
Okay. So you're open to a lot of different things? I guess you have to be if you're investigating and you're writing stories about it now.
Right. It's so, kind of like my, you know, I like all different kinds of music, so I would attribute it to that. You know, I'm open to many different things. I believe that we couldn't possibly be alone in the universe. I mean, why would that be in such a big space, you know?
You're saying there might be life on other planets. Wow. Wait till your family hears this one.
Right.
They're never going to speak to you again.
Yeah.
You were telling me a story. We're not going to go into it, but you told me a story about you were with some people that were, I guess, related to you, and they wanted to know really about the book, and you told them eventually, and then they kind of didn't want to be around you, did they?
Yeah, it was funny how our time, we were up by the Sulox, how it was funny how our time kind of changed, how they decided to go on their own adventures throughout the UP.
These people are nuts, honey. Let's get away from them. He used to be my favorite nephew. Not anymore. Not anymore.
We might need the holy water.
There's something wrong with them. There's something. You know, I always wonder, people probably think that about me because I've shared so many things. It's like, you know what? I'm a normal guy. And when I was younger, and I wasn't exposed to these things too, Keith, and maybe this is with you too, yeah, those other people did seem a little weird when they're talking about them, right? Well, what's that all about? That's weird. And then as you get to see it for yourself and experience it, then you go, you know, that's not weird. I can totally accept that. And it's not a big deal. And now how many people are pointing at us, I wonder?
Mm-hmm.
Could be some of that. But you know you're going to break some eggs when you make the omelet. Were you surprised that there wasn't maybe more of a backlash when you came out with this?
A little at first. I thought for sure I was going to hear even more flack from people I know or work with. It's funny, for the book reading, just about everyone at my office where I work, they all came to the book reading and were all very supportive.
Hmm.
So that's where I say, you know, I understand where if family can't wrap their arms around it, you know, I totally get it. But for every person that doesn't support it, there are so many more that do and embrace it. So,
you know, I find also, Keith, it seems like when you're dealing with the subject of ghosts or spirits, I would say probably most families, or at least half, have had some kind of experience. They maybe just don't talk about it, but I think the majority of people have had some kind of spirit activity that they turned a blind eye to. I don't know if you feel that way at all in your discussions. I don't know how many people you've talked to, but most people, I think it's happened to me in my life several times, and there are times I excused it away. And most people I talk to will say, well, there was that one, even if they don't believe, well, there was that strange thing. There always seems to be, just about in every family, everybody I've ever talked to, one person out of the family that's witnessed something. So I think it's a lot of people out there, whether they want to admit it or not.
Absolutely.
And you see that a little bit. How many different people contributed to your book?
There were four of us that had stories. Mine being the predominant number of stories, but there were others that contributed one or two stories.
Now, these are all over the city of Saginaw, but mainly a lot of them have to do with the depot, right?
I want to say there's three stories that contain happenings at the depot itself, but you know, there are many that are just average, everyday type homes or businesses.
Is there any really creepy, weird ones that you can tell us? Any one, pick one out, or something that's really neat? Maybe
yeah,
one story?
I could allude on one story that's not actually about the depot. That probably would be kind of nice. So, there is a theater here in Saginaw. It was built around the turn of the century. And a few years ago, the theater underwent major restoration. Kind of like what we're trying to do with the Potter Street Station. And this prominent business owner sank millions of dollars into bringing it back to what it was, and it's just absolutely beautiful. Well, a friend of mine works for the theater, and I went to visit him and go have lunch with him one day. And his office was on the top floor of the building next to it that the theater also owns. So I'm nearing his office, and there's this long, dark hallway that takes me to his office, and of course the lights are off because they're conserving energy and there's nothing going on in the theater that day. And I near his office, and there's these two double doors that take me to his office, and they're open, and I can see like his door, and I can see that the light's on in his office, and I get that falling feeling that's pretty standard for me. If I feel a falling feeling, it basically is telling me that spirit is within.
Mm. That's your way of telling it. Yeah.
Yep. So I go, thank God he's at his office, and I quick open the door, and there's Tom sitting at his desk. So, so we're in talking about business and how business is for them and whatnot, and we finished our discussion. We decided it's time to go for lunch, but before we head out, he's grabbing his coat, and you hear this loud bang come from the hallway that I had just walked through, and I looked at him like, what was that? And he says, you know these old buildings, they make some really strange sounds, and you know, the hair on the back of my neck standing up on end. And I didn't say anything to Tom because he had just thought it was crazy. But so he gets his coat on, we head for the hallway, and the double doors that I had walked through that were open, they're now closed. And the entire time we're in there, it just felt like, you know, if you're in a private conversation and you feel like someone's listening in on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It felt like that the entire time.
So you never saw anything?
I never saw anything, but we got to where those double doors were on our way out, and hair on the back of my neck just standing straight up, and he was talking to me, and obviously he was probably talking to me about where we were going to go for lunch or I don't know what, but I could not even hear him because I was listening intently to what sounded like a group of people standing in the hallway, you know, waiting for something.
Hmm.
Kind of like if you're in a loud restaurant and you can't focus on
right.
what anyone's saying in particular.
And you heard those kind of noises.
Yeah, and he's like, Keith, Keith. And finally I'm like, whoa, sorry, what's up? And he's like, well, like, where did you go? you were like gone for a minute.
Did you tell him?
I think I finally told him when we were at lunch, but I didn't tell him while we were there. And he was kind of creeped out to go back to work and be conscious of the fact that, you know, there was something going on in there in that hallway, and what was it?
You ever feel scared when you're doing these things, Keith, when you run into these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not without fear of it. However, it's getting easier.
Hmm.
But on that particular day when I heard and felt the things that I felt in that hallway, I would have loved to have gone running out of there, but
really?
He just thought I was crazy. And
really?
Yeah.
You've been around this pretty much your whole life.
Yeah.
And at the depot, you've had a number of things happen there, right?
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
So, and you still, these things kind of, these kind of make you jump.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you're just not expecting it. You know, I'm just going to have lunch with a friend, and
right,
you're going about your day, and
next thing you know it, something's going on.
Yeah, we gave a tour at the station a couple months ago. This woman and her three kids came, and they paid a substantial amount of money to become members and go on a tour, and I'm giving them a tour, and all of a sudden, the son, he's probably about, I don't know, 17 or 18, looks me in the eye, and he says, "We believe." And I said, "You believe what?"
He
says, "We believe in ghosts." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And just, you know, I was giving the regular tour, you know, like they're coming to see a piece of history, and up to that point anyway. And so the entire time that they were on the ground before he had said that, I, in my mind, pictured a woman with long, grayish-white hair, and she's kind of got it up in a bun, and she's following one of the children, like, very close. Like,
that's an image it just comes to your mind, an image.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I waited until the children were kind of at a distance because I didn't want to scare them. And I said to the mother, I'm like, if I told you about a woman that has long grayish white hair and she's got it kind of up in a bun, she appears to be wearing, like, I don't know, horn-rimmed glasses or something from the 50s, kind of looks like in my head, would that mean anything to you? And she said, yeah, that would be my sister, Ruth.
Hmm. Wow.
So,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this stuff happens when you're least expecting it.
And so, do you believe that they're trying to communicate because they know you can see them? Do you think they're coming towards you?
Well, I don't think I'm like the movie The Sixth Sense, where it's like being communicated with every ghost in
no, but you,
the realm, but
they want to make contact, a lot of them, right? And so,
yeah, I
do you think
do
they seek out somebody that might have the ability to do that?
Yeah.
So they might be seeking you out, right?
Yeah, they probably are.
You don't really want to go there yet, do you?
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. You know, if, like, I'm out with my wife and my 5-year-old, for instance, I don't talk about any of this in front of my 5-year-old because I don't want to influence her, and I don't want ever kids to, you know, tease her because they think, you know, her dad's a nut or whatever.
Mm.
So in those instances, I don't really embrace it. You know, there might be a time where we go to a school program or something and something's going on, and I do my utmost best to ignore it.
Really?
So that, you know, I can have that separation, you know.
You ever watch Long Island Medium?
I have, yeah.
That's kind of like, you're the Saginaw Medium. That's what you could become, you know. You could become somebody.
I think there's a whole lot more people in Long Island that probably would like to be communicated with. I don't know.
I'm just saying that, you know, when things happen to people, I think it's not by accident. And everybody has, I think everybody could do what you're doing. Everybody could tap into it if they really want to. But a lot of times, you know, it's like a gift in a way that you can use to help others. Do you ever look at it that way, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, one of the people that came to the book reading, she said, you know, I said the bit about being raised Catholic and whatnot, and she asked a question about, well, do you believe in God? And I'm like, yes, I do, and I believe that he gave me this gift. So, of course I believe in God. I'm not an atheist or
right.
A non-believer in God and his power, but I think he just wants us to see a greater picture.
You know, there's answers for everything if people aren't afraid to move forward and try to find them. But a lot of what holds us back is fear, and fear of our beliefs, you know, that have been put on us because we don't think for ourselves. But then when things happen that you can't explain, you almost have to move forward to if you want to find an answer. If you're going to say, well, I'm pretend that never happened. Well, that's fine. Right. I guess you can go that way if that's what you want to do. But I don't want to do that with my life. When things happen, I want to know. You know, so I ask questions, and I dig more, and things happen to me more, it seems like. You notice that, like, where when you start talking about these things or opening up to it, it seems like more of it happens. Does that happen to you, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know I'm talking a lot about the cause, the station and whatnot, but it's funny how, you know, just in a regular tour or talking to someone on the street about regular things like architecture, historic architecture, that all of a sudden it'll just start happening. And, you know, I don't seek it out, but it just kind of happens. And like you said, it's kind of like, okay, well, I left my watch sitting on the dresser in the bedroom and the light's off, and maybe I'm a child and I'm scared to go into that room, but I need my watch. Well, in this case, I need to keep going with my life, and even though it scares me a great deal,
mm-hmm.
I still have to go on and do my
And really,
life.
When you think about it, Keith, what is there to be afraid of? What is there really to be, unless they're like a poltergeist and they're throwing things, you know?
Right. The unknown.
Again, that's what it is, right? That's what that's what people are afraid of, and I used to be that way too as a kid because I didn't know much about it. And you know, things might happen, and you wonder, what the heck's that? And then as you become an adult and you read other people's experiences and other people that had books, you know, and then more things happen to you, you know, to me, it's like I graduated. It's like, okay, that's not a big deal. You know, there's a reason for these beings hanging around, and by choice, I believe, and they're just not ready to move on. You know, I've been to more than one location with friends of mine that people were being haunted or had something in the house and they were uncomfortable, and my friends were able to sense the spirits or see them and actually help them, you know, go somewhere else. So mm-hmm. they left people alone. I was even in a there's just probably about 7-8 blocks from here on the main street of Escanaba where I do the broadcast. A friend of mine has a building, and it's always in those older buildings, it seems like, doesn't it? But I'm sure it's anywhere. But it sure seems like the older they are, the more that they draw spirits. But he claimed that there was something in his building. And we went there, me and a friend of mine and the guy that was there, that lives there. And we were down in the basement. There's nobody else in this building. This is like a commercial building, but he lives in it. And so there's, he has a basement. You have the main floor. You have two floors above that. Well, we're down on the basement, and somebody is stomping around in boots up above us. I mean, there's nobody, nobody in that building. And when we got up there, there was nobody. So you know that there's no question that these kind of things, they don't scare me. I mean, unless they were to pop up and I didn't see them, they startle me for a moment, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I just know it's beings that haven't moved on.
Right.
For whatever reason. And some would also say that it could just be a reflection, too. Have you come across that? Where it might just be like something that's playing back in time, a moment of energy. Somebody did the same thing every day. You know what I'm saying, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. I've absolutely had that kind of
residual, the residual stuff. And then there seems to be a difference where there's intelligence, like that woman you were talking about, that wanted to communicate with you because she wanted probably people to know that she was around, her loved ones, and she cares about them. And this is where, you know, I've taken it another step beyond that. And I talk with people that are mediums. And I just did a show with a woman who calls herself an angel. She goes to, and she's at a young age learned how to talk to angels. And they would come to her and she would see them and they would give her answers. So now she's expanded in many ways, but a lot of times loved ones will come through to her through the angels. And they just want people to know that they're okay or that they're around you. They're following your life. They're there to support you. They're almost like an angel as well, you know. So in a way, it's really a cool thing in a lot of ways, don't you? And maybe someday you'll be doing that. Maybe you'll have your own show someday.
We'll see.
Not ready for that, Keith? Not ready?
Not just yet.
So once again, if somebody wants to get your book, it's called Haunted Ghost Stories from the City of Saginaw. Saginaw, Michigan, that is. And if the book is $45, and again, how do they go about getting that?
They can contact us by phone, is the easiest way to do it, and they can call 989-327-7574.
Okay.
Or they can write to us via email, which is potterdepot@aol.com.
Potter Depot, and I can put that right on my site, if you don't mind, at aol.com. And I'm guessing people in that area are kind of, I just really find it amazing that there are people, I thought people were so open to all ghosts, especially now, because it seems like that's just a kind of a given. But I guess it depends where you're at, because up here, then again, people are probably rolling their eyes after I'm done talking to them. But, you know, I got a picture, I was in a bar for my brother-in-law's birthday was last fall, and we went to a local bar. Now, that's another place where you'll find spirits. They hang out there. And I took a video of him coming in for his surprise 40th birthday party. At the time, I didn't think anything of it. And then as I go back and look at it, I see these orbs. And one of the orbs is dancing its way. It's not like a speck of dust that would come, you could go right at you, you know? This thing is zigzagging, and then it comes right towards me. And it goes over the pool table and then comes right at me. So I know it's something more. And you know, I've shown it to a bunch of people, and nobody really said anything. Then again, they're probably, maybe they're just rolling their eyes.
And right, they're not believers.
They're just saying, they're not saying anything at all, you know?
Right.
Do you also feel like, and I know you got to run here, but people have always told me, too, where there's water. I know you got rivers in Saginaw, but up here we also have a lot of water and also a lot of, they say the reason we have spirit activity so much up in the UP is that iron ore that seems to draw whatever the mineral is in the ground and also the water. Have you noticed a difference, like if you're in the shower, do you see these things or hear them near the rivers or when it's raining? You ever notice anything like that, Keith?
You know, I've never really attributed it to natural factors. I've felt in the Upper Peninsula. I love the Upper Peninsula. It's quiet, peaceful, and I feel really at home there.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that when I'm in the UP, I feel like there is so much more energy as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've attributed it to is just the age of the area. You know, the fact that, you know, in the last ice age, you know, the glaciers actually were covering the Upper Peninsula and came as far south as, you know, like the Traverse City area and whatnot. But Native American, I feel a lot of Native American spirit in the area up in the Upper Peninsula. And I think that's, I guess, to me, why it feels so much stronger. But I've never attributed it to, like, a natural effect like water. I can honestly say when I'm in the shower, you know, doing what I need to do, I haven't really been communicated more with there than I have in any other setting. So,
you know, there was a guy when you were up in the Sioux, and I don't know if you're going back up there, but there's a guy, and he was on my show. He does these tours, twilight haunted tours, where he takes people where all these places are that are. But he told me that the Sioux is extremely haunted because of the Sioux locks. Not a lot of people know that, but a lot of immigrants came to work on there, and a lot of them died there. And so there's a lot of restless spirits. And plus the water around there, anywhere, where, especially where the water is going like in a river. I know they got the locks, but it's moving. That seems to draw it in more, too. So next time you're up there, I don't know if you want to check that out.
I'll have to look into that.
Twilight Haunted Tours, I think is what it's called. But Keith, it's really nice to have you on. I know you got to run, and good luck with the book. I'm really glad to hear that you got that out. You said you might do it, and you were kind of debating, and I'm glad to see that that's come forward, and who knows what else you're going to have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Stay tuned.
Yeah, well, next time we come on, we're going to have you try to, you know, talk to some spirits. How about that?
Sure. That sounds good.
Maybe you can channel some spirits for us. How about that?
We'll work on that.
Thank you very much, Keith.
Thanks, TJ. I appreciate it.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.